Hey church, this is Paul, one of your pastors. Welcome back to the Disciple SBC podcast. This is a break from our normal programming, Sunday school recordings, to record a conversation about our upcoming Sunday school. So to do that well, Kelton is joining me today. Kelton, how are you?
I'm good, brother.
Great. Well, this coming Sunday, September 3rd, we are starting two new Sunday school classes. Mm-hmm. We'll be considering overviews of the general epistles that you, Kelton, and Moses will be teaching in, in the youth room where we're recording this podcast right now, as well as a class on technology and the Christian, which is going to be taught by Elliot and I in the north room. And so our hope in this podcast is to dig into those classes just a little bit so that you all as members are helped to make a decision about which class to attend. Which leads me to say that if you've not been attending Sunday school, but you're listening to this, let me encourage you that the start of a new session is a great chance to jump in. All right, well, let's begin talking about the overview of the General Epistles class. So, Kelton, can you just take us through what you all will be considering through these 9 weeks?
Yeah, brother, it's no surprise that in these 9 weeks we'll be covering nine of the letters of the New Testament. So it just so happens that there are nine letters in the New Testament that are not written by the Apostle Paul. So we're going to be considering the non-Pauline letters of the New Testament. So starting in the book of Hebrews, all the way through the next nine letters to Revelation. And so each week our goal is to cover an entire book, and in that discuss its author, who wrote the letter, its audience, who that author was writing to, and how that might help us understand the message of that letter, the major themes of that letter, and then, walk through and kind of outline of the book, so help us understand the structure of the letter, all its major components, and then, try to work through some of that text, reading it in part, and walking through the argument as best as we can, so that we can better understand the book.
Praise the Lord. Yes, if you're familiar with what we've done already this year, we did a class on the first five books of the Bible, and now towards the end of the year, we're going to be doing a class on the end of the Bible.
That's right.
So, can you just walk us through, that sounds great, why is this a useful study? Why is it worth people coming to come and participate in this class?
Well, I have an easy answer for that one. Obviously, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. So, including these last nine books of the Bible. So, that's the easy answer. But particularly, it can be useful for us because I would imagine that the general epistles, the ones not written by Paul, are generally less well known. That we're not as familiar with their content, their themes, their doctrine. And it's helpful for us just to consider, why did God give us 27 letters in the New Testament, or 27 documents in the New Testament, and not just one, right? He just wrote us the New Testament more like a textbook that, you know, not only gave us the history of Jesus, but all, therefore, the doctrine and how we're to live. Well, you know, there's a lot to say about that, but each letter, each document of the New Testament makes a unique contribution to our understanding of God, of sin, of especially the Savior and salvation in Him, of what the Christian life is like, of what our hope is for the future, and what that future will look like. So really, each of these nine letters has a unique contribution to make to our understanding of God, the world, our place in it in the future. So we want to take advantage of that and understand each of their message as best as we can.
Yeah, that's great. And Sunday school gives us a unique opportunity to do that, which doesn't always happen on a Sunday morning where we're more in a book for a longer period of time. Yeah, so that sounds really useful, brother. What are you maybe particularly looking forward to about this class and these 9 weeks?
Well, yeah, it's related to what you just said, Paul, right? That we as a church love studying the Bible, and especially the epistles, in nitty-gritty detail, word by word, taking just a bit at a time. But there is something special, something that you get by considering the big picture, not only of a whole book in one morning, in one sitting, in 45 minutes, but even just week after week in 9 weeks, considering the message of nine of the books of the New Testament back to back to back to back. So it's really a good chance to kind of get a big picture view of not only the doctrine that the Bible teaches, but what it expects of us, what hope it holds out for us. So it's just a different perspective than what maybe we're used to.
Amen. So as you give some attention to that kind of more overview picture, mm-hmm. What is it that you hope those who attend will come away with?
Well, yeah, certainly, because these will be what I might call cursory studies, right? Mm-hmm. We have to cover the content of the book in 45 minutes. I do hope, Moses and I hope, that everybody can leave each Sunday with a desire to dig deeper, to go beyond what we discovered that morning, to maybe keep the notes and the handout that you received that morning, tuck it in your Bible or notebook you keep at home, so that as you read the book on your own, in your own personal study, you have some guides, some the outline to help you understand the larger argument, things like that. So, yeah, we want to equip people in this class to study on their own.
Yeah,
so we hope that everybody will come away with not only the ability to do that, but the desire to. But it's not just to know more facts about these nine letters, not to know more facts, but to facilitate loving our Savior. Each of these books reveal something about, well, reveal many things about our Savior, but reveal our Savior and the salvation accomplished in Him. Hebrews, you can think of, reveals especially the fact that He's a better Savior. He's better than angels and Moses and the Old Testament and the old priest, right? James reveals that He's the wisdom of God, right? That He's a wise Savior. First Peter reveals that Jesus is our example in our suffering, as it calls us to suffer well. Second Peter reveals Jesus as our judge. First John reveals Jesus as God's love. Second John reveals Jesus as the abiding truth. Third John reveals that our partnership for Jesus, our partnership is for Jesus' worthy name. The reason that we work together and support, for example, missionaries is because Jesus is worthy. Jude reveals Jesus as our keeper in the midst of trials. And Revelation reveals Jesus as the coming conquering king. So ultimately, all these letters, we hope, as we study them, everyone will come away from each study knowing, loving Jesus more, and therefore serving Him and giving Him their all.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Well, speaking of knowing and loving Jesus all the more, one of the areas that modern Christians have to think about how to love and serve Jesus is through our use of technology.
Yeah.
So, brother, our second class will be considering that topic, technology and the Christian. So, yeah, what we'll be considering in these 9 weeks of the class, brother?
Yes. So we're going to try to think well about technology, but we're certainly not going to be able to talk about everything about technology. So let me just give you kind of a brief outline of what the class is going to look like. The first 3 weeks, our aim will be to build out a broader theology of technology. So this will be giving us broader categories for how to think through technology. So we'll consider what a definition of it, God's relationship to technology, the question of is it good, bad, or neutral, the story of technology as we see it in the Bible, and the dangers and limitations of technology. We're going to be, considering kind of the bigger things, like is God in control of nuclear power, right? What do we think of AI? And so we're going to start kind of large and just give us a firmer feet in our biblical worldview of technology. And then from there, we're going to go into 2 weeks of just considering then how do we use technology well. And we're going to narrow our focus, onto those technologies that we use more in our everyday life, right? So we're not necessarily coming into contact with nuclear power every day. Or space rockets and things of that nature. So what we're going to do is narrow into more of those technologies that we use in day-to-day life. So one of those classes, we'll consider just some general principles for how to use technology well. And then in the other class, we'll probably consider something like tools, something like that for how to use it well. And then after that, we'll take 2 weeks to consider two major areas where technology is present. So the home and the church. When it comes to the technology that we yield day after day, we use them in our home. It's interesting, as I've been reading about this, that over the last 50 to 60 years, there's been a switch in how we even design and build our homes. From the heart of the home, you used to be the hearth and the fireplace where it was not just where everyone gathered, but it was like that's where heat came from. And then we got the water heaters and all those furnaces and Now the heart of the home is a TV. Hmm. Is that bad? How do we use that well? Should we just throw our TVs away? Do we make our homes little Amish communities? What is it that our homes should look like? Hmm. And then we see a lot of questions about technology as far as churches. Why aren't we live streaming? Should we make more active use of technology in our services? Should we not? How does technology shape our relationships in a church? Hmm. Those sorts of questions, thinking about that. And then the final 2 weeks, we'll deal one kind of with a pressing issue that I feel and Elliot feels of addiction and social media, like just how our technology is created in and itself and the content that comes through it to be addicting. And so how do we think well about that? How do we fight against that? And then our final week will be of a Q&A. So just the questions that the people in a class that are thinking through, because we recognize, we have to narrow our focus a little bit, but there may be questions we don't answer or questions we can't answer fully throughout the class. So our aim is from the very first class to be, hey, send us your questions and we're going to try and deal with those as we go, but certainly in that last class.
Okay. Well, brother, this might be eminently obvious to everybody listening, but why would you argue that this is a useful study for Christians to participate in?
Yeah, I do hope it's obvious. When I asked the question last week, giving the announcements on Sunday, I asked who uses technology, and every hand went up in the room. So there's no one who doesn't use technology in some form or fashion. It's all around us. AC units, our phones, space rockets, right? There is technology all around us. And I think we've experienced a major boom in technology in the last 30 years with digital technology in particular. Hmm. And Tony Ranke makes the point that our discovery and innovation always outpaces our ethics when it comes to technology. So we're always making new discoveries and innovations at a rapid pace, but we're not able to give thought to all the moral issues that come along with those discoveries. And so as people then start coming face to face with all this technology, they tend to fall into two camps. One, the camp of, I'm just going to reject all technology, it's evil. Or I'm just going to be an early adopter. I love technology. It is, in some senses, viewed as our savior. This is a way to bring me life, joy, happiness, contentment. And we do that often without thinking much about it. You can think of the example recently of ChatGPT. Last year, in the spring, it kind of came out, or at least came out on a bigger scale. And really quickly, teachers and students began to see difficulty. Students were using ChatGPT to write papers. And we had to think on the fly of, how do we use this well? What does it look like to use ChatGPT and AI well? And that's just the tip of the iceberg as we step into that world more and more. And so I think, taking time to think through that well, how do we use our technology is why this is a useful study, at least one of the reasons why.
Okay. Well, I'm convinced, brother. And that's part of the reason why we use technology to record these classes, so that if you do attend, for example, the classroom here in the youth room with the overview of the general epistles, you can still go online and listen later.
Yeah.
Well, brother, what are you most looking forward to about the class?
Yeah, so I have two things that I'm looking forward to. One, for me, it's just been really helpful in the last 2 months to connect the technology that we have to the gospel of Jesus. So how does the technology that we're using fit within the story of the gospel? We want this class to make much of Jesus. It's going to be really easy, Lord willing, in your class, in the looking through the Bible, to make much of Christ. Mm-hmm. In our class, it's going to be harder. It's going to be harder to see that. And so one of the things I'm excited about is to try to help people draw those lines a little bit and say, what does my iPhone have to do with Jesus? Mm-hmm. What does my TV have to do with how I'm following Christ? And then secondly, I'm looking forward to the conversation it creates. Again, I acknowledge, right? We're not going to answer every question, but by kind of talking about it, we're going to give room, I think, then for people to start thinking about it together. I've been really encouraged with conversations I've had with Elliot as we've both prepared to teach this class, conversations with others. And so I'm hopeful that this conversation will just continue through and after the class.
Okay. Well, brother, final question for you. Is there something that here at the outset, before we even start, you hope that those who attend will, at the end of 9 weeks, come away with?
Yeah, so three things. One, a bigger view of God. When it comes to technology, its very nature is to amplify human power. So technology can amplify that power in faith. You see Noah, who builds an ark in faith using technology, or David, who uses the technology of a sling and a stone to defeat Goliath. Or it can amplify power in pride and making ourselves to be like God. You see Babel, which uses the same technology as Noah does, but for a completely opposite purpose. Or Goliath, who uses all this modern technology, but does so to make himself, to put his hope in himself. And so my hope is that we come away from this class seeing that God is over all technology, that he rules the blacksmith and the ravager, as Isaiah 54 says, that he teaches us how to use technology, that he's over it. So I love Isaiah 28. I've discovered this from Tony Ranke. He quotes Isaiah 28, verses 24 to 26, which says this: "Does he who plows for sowing plow continually? Does he continually open and harrow his ground? When he has revealed its surface, does he not scatter dill, sow cumin, and put in wheat and rows and barley in its proper place and emmer as the border? For he is rightly instructed, his God teaches him." So I long for us to come out of this class amazed at the Creator, that our God, far from being absent or turning a blind eye to technology innovation, that our Creator is teaching us and leading us in it. And in a fallen world, it's not always going to be good or useful technology, but we can give God praise and be thankful for the creativity that we see in his people and how he is teaching us to use that technology. And so I hope we come away with that kind of big view of God that leads us to gratitude for the technology that we have. This is not an anti-technology class. It is a class that is in awe of how God has so made our world for the use of technology. But secondly, I hope we come away with contentment with less technology. So I think the natural Christian state is thankfulness and awe at how God gives us innovators, yet we're not going to be on the front lines of new technology. Instead, we want to be slower to adopt things until we've been able to think through how we can adapt it for its best use. So just being content to be like David. He didn't need the modern technology of the sword and the arm plate and all of the things that Saul tried to give him. He was content to trust the Lord with the technology that he had. And there's more to say there, but yeah, so being content with our technology, even if it's less. And then third, I just want us to be better technology stewards. Whatever technology we have, we want us to use it wiser than we currently do in our homes, workplaces, church, relationships. We want to be faithful stewards of the technology that we have. That's what I hope we come away with.
Okay. Well, brother, there's a lot there. I feel like I learned a lot just listening to you in these few minutes. So I trust that 9 weeks of it are being really profitable. So church, I hope that you can make the time over the next month and a half, to join us at 9:30 for our Sunday school classes. Again, we're going to have an overview of the general epistles in the youth room, and then we're going to have technology and the Christian in the north room starting this Sunday, September 3rd. God bless.